Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All the brothers are requested to kindly come down. And any one of your sathis nearby you sleeping, with lots of love and compassion, wake the person up, remind them of the valuable time, last few moments of the month of Ramadan. Take part in these programs, inshallah, we'll benefit from them. Love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come into our hearts also by listening to these kind of programs. So all of you, please come down and let us commence our program as quick as possible, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم وقاية الله أغنت عن مضاعفة وقاية الله أغنت عن مضاعفة من الدروع وعن عالم من الأثوم من الدروع وعن عالم من الأثوم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ما سام من الدهر ضيما واستجرت به ما سام من الدهر ضيما واستجرت به إلا ونلت جوارا منه لم يضمي إلا ونلت جوارا منه لم يضمي مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ولن تمست غنى الدارين من يده ولن تمست غنى الدارين من يده إلا استلم تدنا إلا استلمت الندى من خير مستلم إلا استلمت الندى من خير منه مستسلم إلا استلمت الندى من خير مستلم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ولن تمست غنى الدارين من يده ولن تمست غنى الدارين من يده إلا استلمت الندى من خير مستلم إلا استلمت الندى من خير مستلم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم لا تنكر الوحي من رؤياه إن له لا تنكر الوحي من رؤياه إن له قلبا إذا نامت العينان الأولى ميم قلبا إذا نامت العينان لم ينمي مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم وذاك حين بلوغ من نبوته وذاك حين بلوغ من نبوته فليس ينكر فيه حال محتلم فليس ينكر فيه حال محتلم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم تبارك الله ما وحي بمكتسب تبارك الله ما وحي بمكتسب ولا نبي ولا نبي على غيب بمتهم ولا نبي على غيب بمتهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم آيات الغر لا يخفى على أحد آياته الغر لا يخفى على أحد بدونها العدل بين الناس لم يقم بدونها العدل بين الناس لم يقم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم كم أبرأت وصفا باللمس راحته كم أبرأت وصبا باللمس راحته وطلقت أربا من ربقة الأمام وأطلقت أربا من ربقة الأمام مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم وأحيت السنة الشهباء دعوته وأحيت السنة الشهباء دعوته حتى حكت غرة في الأعصر الدهمي حتى حكت غرة في الأعصر الدهمي مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم بعارض جاد أو خلت البطاح بها بعارض جاد أو خلت البطاح بها سيبا من اليم أو سلا أو سيلا من العرب من العرم سيبا من اليم أو سيلا من العرم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. We continue with the fifth chapter of Qasida Burda, in which the various miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are mentioned, various miracles of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam displayed during the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The translation of the first two poems, Allama Busairi says, وقاية الله أغنت عن مزاعفة من الدروع وعن عالم من الأتوم. دروع refers to arms that a person wears in war to protect himself, and أتوم refers to forts. The translation is, the protection of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has dispensed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from double armors and from high forts. Previously, Allama Busairi rahmatullah alayhi was discussing about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam making hijrat from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara, and how Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala protected Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And in these poems, Allama Busairi further expands on that, and he says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not need to wear double armors. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not need to take refuge on high forts, but he was under the divine protection of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And to explain that, it will be interesting to know the incident of hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The kuffar of Makkah, they gathered in Darun Nadwa, discussing how to deal with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So somebody said that we should banish Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkah Mukarramah. But this opinion was rejected. They all knew that how much of respect Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded in and around Makkah, in the outskirts of Makkah. And if he's going to go in the outskirts of Makkah, all those people that so dearly love Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will go and attach themselves to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they will make a joint attack on us. They also had a very political mind, and they understood the consequences of this. Somebody suggested that then we should rather imprison Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, put him in jail. So this idea was also rejected, that if we're going to imprison him, then all his supporters will keep on confronting us. So finally Abu Jahl said, the best way to get rid of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to kill Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that too, every tribe of Makkah should take part in the killing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So no, people will just stand up against us because they can't stand up against the entire tribe for the blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The plan was chalked out. Many youngsters, strong, brave people from the people of Makkah, they surrounded the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out, that's the time they will assassinate and they will kill Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala send wahi and revelation to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now to leave the house. But Allah ta'ala wanted to show his power and his qudrat. The kuffar were already around the house. And in the center of all them, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves the house and he comes out. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to sleep on his bed and cover himself with the sheet of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if by chance, if the non-Muslims have to enter the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would see somebody sleeping on the bed. And they would have no idea that it is anyone else besides Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites Surah Yasin. And he leaves the home, and when he comes to this point, فَأَخْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ فَأَخْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ repeats this verse, and then he, in the center of the kuffar, he leaves the house and he goes to the house of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu about having order from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala now to make hijrat. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala joins Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and both of them go to the cave of Thawr. And that is where Allama Busairi in the previous chapter, in the previous verses, speaks about how Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala protected Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a pigeon and with a spider. During the 3 days that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq were in the cave, so this is what Allama Busairi is referring to, that he was under divine protection. There was no need for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to wear two armors, and there was no need for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take refuge in high forts. He was under divine protection from the side of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were in the cave. So every night, the son of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah, he would come and visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq, give information to them about what is happening in Makkah Mukarramah. And early part of the morning, he would leave and he would be in Makkah Mukarramah kaba'it, as though he spent the night in Makkah Mukarramah. People would have no idea that he secretly left Makkah and he went somewhere else. Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, the sister of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, would prepare food for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, for every one of those 3 nights, give it to her brother, and she would then go and give it to, and he would then go and give it to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After 3 days, on the 1st of Rabiul Awwal, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the cave. And it was over that period of time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq, they traveled to Madinatul Munawwara. With them was Amir ibn Fuhaira, the slave of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and another non-Muslim who served as a guide. His name was Abdullah ibn Ariqat. On the way, there's so much of protection from the side of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and the famous incident of Suraqa ibn Malik have taken place. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala says, I turned back, I saw behind one person coming on horseback. And I kept on looking, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not even look. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was aware that there's somebody behind, but out of fear, I kept on looking. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not even look. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem, and it was as though that Suraqa was hearing the recitation of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came so close by. Suddenly, his horse gave into the ground. Got stuck into the ground. One time he tried to take it out, it came out, again it went. Second time he tried to take it out, again it went. Third time, he then beseeches and he says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Muhammad, you make dua to Allah to take me out from this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua, and then he was so overwhelmed, a certain type of nur and light came out from that ground, which Suraqa ibn Malik Mughlaji also saw. He then tells to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Muhammad, take my camel. I've got some food also with me, take that also. Nabi sahab mentioned, you didn't accept Islam, I can't accept your invite. But the most you can do, you go back to Makkah and tell anybody that's coming in this direction that the road is clear. Same person, Suraqa, he goes back to Makkah. And then after a few days, he was still shocked with this incident. After a few days, he then confronts Abu Jahl. And he tells Abu Jahl, this entire incident. He says that I know, and even you know, that Muhammad is on haq. Why don't we just accept his religion? So this is what Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about, the wiqaya, the divine protection from the side of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala. مَا سَامَنِي أَدَّهْرُ ضَيْمًا وَاسْتَجَرْتُ بِهِ إِلَّا وَنِلْتُ جَوَارًا مِّنْهُ لَمْ يُضَى بِي. Vayman refers to oppressed. Allama Busairi says that whenever time frustrated me with any distress, at times facing challenges in life, you get sad, you get upset, you get grief, you get the state of depression. So whenever I went into that condition in life, especially Allama Busairi speaking in the context of him being a sick person and a person that having paralysis, he said, I took refuge in him, took refuge in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I received support from him which was not misused. This type of the poem, somebody may think, you're supposed to take refuge in Allah. Why take refuge in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Tawheed, that only Allah protects, nobody else protects. What is meant by taking refuge in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When a person got correct aqidah, correct belief, and when he makes a statement, you try to interpret it according to his understanding and according to his correct belief. And it is well known, all the ulama unanimous, that Allama Busairi was from the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and he was the person that had correct aqidah, correct belief. So this statement means that he took refuge in Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala through the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wabtahu ilayhi alwasila. That all you who believe, that you seek wasila, a means to Almighty Allah. And who can be more closer to Allah than Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Wala iltamastu ghinad darain min yadihi illa stalamtu annada min khayri mustalami. Istalamtu, it means to get something. And or it also could mean to kiss. So the translation is that I did not seek the wealth of the two worlds from his hands. Allama Busairi is saying that I did not seek the wealth of the two worlds from his hands, from the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I kissed a hand that could be the best hand that can be kissed. In other words, whenever I asked Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of some worldly difficulty and obviously the difficulty of the akhirat, then indeed it was granted through the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La tunkiril wahya min ru'yahu inda lahu qalban idha namatil aynan lam yanumi. The translation, do not deny that the dreams of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are wahi, revelation. For verily, his heart does not sleep when his eyes are asleep. It is mentioned in one hadith, a group of malaika, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asleep. So one group is telling to the other group, إِنَّ لَهُ مَثَلًا فَضْرِبْ لَهُ مَثَلًا. This is an example of him, of referring to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give an example. So the other group of angels are saying, but he's sleeping. If we want to give an example about him, it's meant to honor him, but if he's sleeping, what's the point of giving the example? So the other group says that his eyes are sleeping, but his heart is awake. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also mentioned, إِنَّ عَيْنَيَّ تَنَامْ وَلَا يَنَامُ قَلْبِي. That when I sleep, maybe my eyes outwardly are sleeping, but my heart is awake. And that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but all the Anbiya, when they sleep, their hearts are awake, and that is why even in the sleep they get wahi and they get revelation. And this is referred to in the Quran Kareem, wherein Almighty Allah Tabaraka speaks about the dream of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Inni ara fil manam anni asbahuka fandur maza tara. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is sleeping. In the dream, Almighty Allah Tabaraka tells him, slaughter your son Ismail. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam sees a dream, but this was not while she was a Nabi, young age. Inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaba wa shamsa wal qamar ra'aytuhum li sajidin. So Allama Busairi rahmatullah speaks about this one kamal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he says that any wahi that comes in his dream, don't deny it, because his eyes are sleeping but his heart is awake. And further he explained about the wahi, wazak حين بلوغ من نبوته فليس ينكر فيه حال محتلمي. And this wahi that came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was during the age of nubuwwat. The age of nubuwwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was 40 years. And then he says that those dreams that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw at that time, at the age of nubuwwat, before getting wahi, at the age of nubuwwat, just when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam reached almost 40, those dreams that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to get, that nobody could ever deny the haqiqat and the reality of the dreams. This is further understood from the hadith that is in Bukhari Sharif in the first volume under Babu Bad'ul Wahi. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that 6 months before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could get wahi and revelation, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to see true and pious dreams. Misla falaqis sabha. The true and pious dreams were like the brightness of the morning. Nobody can deny the brightness of the morning. Likewise, whatever dreams Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to see at night, in the following day, it used to turn out to be an absolute haqiqat and reality. And in this way, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala was making tarbiyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whatever information from the ghaib is coming to make the heart of Nabi sallam, you get used to it, that information is absolutely true and there's no doubt in that. And that first commenced through the dreams. So that soon wahi is going to come. That's also information from the ghaib, like dreams. So through dreams, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala was training Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to get used to information from the ghaib. And this happened for 6 months. The ulama mentioned something very ajeeb. In Kitab al-Ru'ya, in Bukhari Sharif, in the second volume, there's a hadith. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have mentioned, لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ النُّبُوَّةِ إِلَّا الْمُبَشِّرَاتِ, that nubuwwat have come to an end, but there's one thing that remains, mubashirat, true dreams, pious dreams that people may have. That is, and according to one hadith, 146th of nubuwwat. Now, how did 146th of nubuwwat, a person get a new and true pious dream, ru'ya saliha? So how is that 146th of nubuwwat? What am I to explain? That 6 months before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa could get wahi, he would get these true dreams. And the nubuwwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was for 23 years. In 23 years, there's 46 months. And in this way, anybody that gets true and pious dream, it is as though it is 146th of nubuwwat the person have got. So Allama Busairi rahmatullah speaks about the dreams of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, true and pious dreams. And probably it may be a little bit interesting if I just expand a little bit on the dreams. Very, very briefly, ulama have mentioned that sometimes a person will get dreams, it's just a reflection of the mind. If somebody is in the accounting field, every day, every time is working with numbers, 10, 20s, and then the zeros add up to 3, to 4, to 6 zeros, and going into a million, day in, day out is counting. And now at night he's sleeping, and then he sees that only numbers in his dreams. So that is not any dream. That's a reflection of the mind. What he's doing whole day, that's what is being reflected in the dream. You don't need interpretation for that. Then you get another type of a dream, which is that from the shaitan. Shaitan put whispers in the mind. And sometimes such frightening dreams people may see, they think that my future is destined to be very bad. Whereas there's no need to get frightened with that. When a person sees such kind of dreams, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised, then on that side, wake up, read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, spit 3 times, and then you just sleep away. One sahabi used to get very frightening dreams. He came and told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallam gave him this prescription. He said, after that, I wouldn't even care and I wouldn't bother. And then there are other dreams, you get true, naked and pious dreams. Those are the type of dreams that that require interpretation. But I noticed that it's becoming a norm among many people. They would get this book, Interpretation of Dreams, of Muhammad ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayh. Now anybody would get dreams, now they want to know like what the future is holding for them. They would get hold of that book. They would read that thing, make their own interpretation. Sometimes a dream may be good, but they read it in a bad book that it's got a bad meaning. It takes away the happiness of the person unnecessarily. It brings grief into that person. Dreams, you cannot get the correct and proper interpretation of the dream by reading those books. That dreams, you got to need correct and proper skills. And you know, sometimes dreams, outwardly may seem to be a bad dream. Meanwhile, it may even have a good interpretation. One person, he came to Muhammad ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayh and told to him that I propose to get married to a girl, and I made istikhara for that. Before I could propose for that girl, I had made istikhara whether I should propose for that girl or not. So, see, I looked at her in real life. She was very, very good looking and she was very tall. But when I made istikhara, then what showed in my istikhara is that she's not good looking. She's ugly and she's short. So Muhammad means, now, if somebody have to look at that outwardly, think that maybe the dream is negative. So you go to a person to interpret the dream. So Muhammad ibn Sirin was an expert in interpretation of the dreams. He told, go get married to a woman very, very fast.